As I look back on all of my days, so many times, in so many ways, I have been blessed, and all I can say is God is still good. Sometimes the night brings sorrow and pain, sometimes the tears fall like the rain, but through it all, He's never changed. God is still good. God is still good when the rent grow high. God is still good all through the night. When I've done all I can and I don't understand, God is still good. Clouds of doubt may darken the way, but showers of blessing come any day. He'll bring me through, and I'll stand and say, God is still good. There have been times that I've let Him down, made my mistakes, but still I have found, though I stumble and fall, but through it all, my God is still good. Oh, His mercy still flows from the palm of His hand. He will give grace and help me to stand. And although He knows how unworthy I am, God is still good. God is still good. God is still good all through the night. When I've done all I can and I don't understand, God is still good. Doubt may darken my way, showers of blessing come any day. He'll bring me through, and I'll stand and say, God is still good. Hours of blessing will come any day. He'll bring me through, and I'll stand and say, God is still good. Clouds of doubt may darken the way. Showers of blessing will come any day. He'll bring me through, and I'll stand and say, God is still good.
Amen. I'm not real sure y'all got all that. That's a lot to take in all at one time. And I want David to go back, and we're going to do that last verse again. But it says, there have been times that I've let Him down, made my mistakes, but still I have found, though I stumble and fall, but through it all, God is still good. Mercy still flows through the palm of His hand, and He will give grace to help me to stand. And although He knows how unworthy I am, God is still good. Sing it one more time, brother.
There have been times that I've let Him down, made my mistakes, but still I have found, though I stumble and fall, but through it all, my God is still good. Oh, mercy still flows from the palm of His hand. He will give grace and help me to stand. And although He knows how unworthy I am, God is still good. God is still good.
Oh, God is good this morning. Amen? Amen. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is near unto them who are of a contrite spirit, a broken heart. I'm glad the Lord is alive and well. I'm glad He's living in me this morning. Amen. I'm so glad that He is near unto us when we need Him. I'm glad that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I'm glad that He is our strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and are safe. Don't know about you or not, but I know this week I've battled the devil a little bit. He threw a couple punches, but guess what? I threw a couple punches back too. And I reminded him of his future because he likes to remind me of my past. And so I just remind him where he's going to be in his own lake of fire one day. I'm going to say this morning that God is good, and I'm so happy to be in the house of the Lord. I feel His touch. I feel His hand. I hope you have come prepared to worship this morning. If you come empty, listen, if you come empty, you may not get anything. If you come full, you can pour out into others, and I guarantee you, you'll leave blessed. And on the contrary, some may be here empty and battling the things of this world all week long and just need to crawl to the altar and ask God to fill you, and I understand that. But I hope you've come prepared and ready to worship the Lord. God wants to do great and mighty things this morning. I know He does. I know He does. The question is, will you let Him? So good to be here this morning, and welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. Change gears a little bit, and Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs, the very populated, growing Powder Springs. As you look around, things are coming up. Apartments are coming up. They're clearing land. This is a populated place. Our church is in this populated place. Our church is here for a reason. And so let us reach our community as it is vastly growing. But I'm going to also say thank you for those watching on Facebook. Don't ever want to take their presence for granted. And I hope you receive a blessing for joining in with us today in the service, watching on your phone, your laptop, or your television. We hope God blesses you real good there. And thank the ones that are listening. I know there are some who don't do Facebook, and they don't come, but they do listen to the live stream on our webpage, www.calvaryministries.org. And so we have several streams of opportunity, including our mini radio transmitter we have. And it's just a joyous and a wonderful feeling to know from this place right now reaches the world. Not to mention the missionaries that listen, Don and Carla and others. What a blessing. What a blessing. My heart's full this morning. And I'm ready to worship. I am ready to deliver God's word. But before we do that, I want to mention a few things this morning. Miss Nancy Farmer. She will have cataract surgery on Wednesday. And so please, please, please remember Miss Nancy in your prayers. And I think there's a little more to it than just that. But she is having surgery on Wednesday to have that taken care of. Please remember her. Miss Claudia Darby had an echocardiogram on this Friday. And do we have any results on that, Miss Claudia? We'll talk later. Remember Miss Claudia, and let's continue to remember Brother Bobby McClendon. See Miss Nancy here. I know Brother Bobby had been trying to rebound out of the episode that he had, his physical situation, and with the low blood count and getting the iron infusions and all of that. So let's continue to lift up Brother Bobby. I tell you, Miss Nancy, you know Bobby wants to be here. I know he does, and Bobby is always here. But I've never seen him go through a time such as this. Bobby's always on the move. He's going. He's doing something. He's just a man in motion. And so please remember Brother Bobby and Miss Nancy. Don Capistrano is going to have surgery again at the end of July, early part of August. So remember her. David Barker had a good report from the doctor, so we praise the Lord for that. He's playing gracefully over there on the keyboard, and so things are well. Yeah, all right. Brother Harold Dolph is going on the 15th, the 19th, and the 22nd for MRIs. Is that right? And so let's remember Brother Harold on all of his appointments. We love Brother Harold, and we just want you as healthy as you possibly can get. And just praise the Lord that you're healthy enough to get here this morning. And so thank God for that. Let me mention a couple announcements, and then we'll toss it back to Brother Allen. I would like to say I would like to ask that there be no roaming in the church while we're having church. If you're helping out in the children's ministry, that's fine. If you're a young person and you're, you know, just in between, you're not in children's church, but, you know, you don't want to come up here, well, please come up here. Be in here. Just no roaming in the church. We just want everybody's attention, especially this morning and tonight. We have two things that the Lord has really burned upon my heart I want to share concerning our church and the church world. So please remember that. Just honor the Lord by being either in this sanctuary or in children's church. July 13th. Some ladies, let me say this before I mention this. In the past, I've heard ladies ask, it'd be great if we had a women's gathering monthly, prayer, you know, just fellowship. We have it. And so I'm going to ask you ladies who have asked of that to show up for this. You'll get a blessing. July 13th at Mary Ann Sandvy's house, there's going to be the ladies' prayer brunch. And we'll give an official time a little bit later, but do remember that this is an extended ministry of the church. It's something new we're doing, and I thank the Lord for you, Miss Marianne, who has this desire to take our ladies and go places with them, spiritually speaking, for the fellowship and the prayer, and we really appreciate that. Sure. Excellent. That is just amazing, outstanding, and we need it. Thank you so much for seeing that need. All right, are you glad you came here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's worship the Lord. Don't think about anything else, but within this window time frame of 1 hour, the Bible says, what could you not watch and pray for 1 hour? Let's give the Lord an hour this morning. Father, we love Him. We love You. We thank You for who You are, for what You do, Lord. I pray that You would bless us today, God. Slow us down a bit so that we could be in step with You. But I do pray that You would work and move in a mighty way. Thank You for our visitors, Lord, who've come this way. We do not take their presence for granted. I do not want to embarrass anyone, but we are thankful for them choosing to come to Calvary today. I pray that You would give them a blessing today. Meet with us in a mighty way. And I pray, Lord, that we'll be different by the time the service is over. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Church, if you'll stand, choir, if you'll stand with me, turn over to page 393 if you need it, and we'll sing When We All Get to Heaven. All right, everyone sing together now. Sing the wondrous love. Thank you. excited that Miss Mary Ann came to me this morning and says she wants to become a member of the choir. And we don't have choir practice this evening. And then next Sunday evening, we won't have service because next Sunday is Father's Day. But following that, I'm very excited to have a new choir member coming on board. And I'm pray if you've been praying about becoming a member of the choir, won't you come and join her? We'd be glad to have you. And we've got a few more chairs back here. I don't know if you've noticed. But, you know, there was a time, I was talking to Terry about this the other day. There was a time, Pastor, that we were trying to figure out where we were going to put everybody. I'd like to have that problem again. And the only way we can do that is if y'all join us and we'll sing together and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. So you've been praying about that. Come talk to me about it. And we would love to have you to come be a member of the choir. But again, no choir practice this evening. And no service next Sunday night because of Father's Day. But it is so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's go to him in a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on the service. And ask God's blessing on the offering as well. I believe. Oh, Brother Don's back there in the back. Brother Don, would you pray for us this morning?
Thank you. David, sing the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly testify.
Getting settled, I do just want to say that I do love him. That isn't all I want to say. I do want to say that I love him, and I'm thankful that he loves me, and I'm thankful that he has been faithful and fulfilled promises to us. This morning in Sunday school, it was just a very special time, and talking about our purpose, and, you know, we all have a story. We all have, if we don't even know what our purpose is, we're wondering, what does God have for me? Maybe he has us here just to tell our story. And to use what we've been through to help someone else. And I always tell people, if God didn't want to use you when you get saved, he'd just say, all right, let's go. But he leaves us here because he wants us to minister to other people. And I'm so, that I thought about that this morning in Sunday school, and I'm just so thankful that even though my story's been hard and scary, and sometimes even made me angry, I'm thankful that he left me here to help others with my story. minister through you. Sometimes it's easy when we're going through something just to get mad, but maybe we just need to take a breath and take a step back and say, okay, God, what do you want me to do with this? So I'm just thankful for his love, that he loves me, and that he hasn't left me, and I'm thankful for a place called Calvary. In a time as a 16-year-old little girl, where I gave my heart to him, and I'm just so thankful. This morning, it was just, I forgot to sing half the choir things because I was so lost in just how much he does love me.
Stronger wings. I've never fit with a popular crowd, and I've been told by some around me that this world's fun and I've missed out. I don't spend my time chasing fortune, and I've never walked the halls of fame. I don't have a fancy education to put a title by my name, but I've been to Calvary and I met the one who gave his life for me. I'm forgiven and I've been set free from this world of misery. I've been to Calvary. My Lord is such a sweet companion. He meets with me in my time of prayer. When a storm sails my direction, a still small voice tells me he's there. I have joy when they say I shouldn't, and I have peace when it doesn't make sense. I can rest content when I have nothing, persevere when I lost my strength. But I've been to Calvary and I met the one who gave his life for me. I'm forgiven and I've been set free from this world of misery. I'm
blessing this morning. Yes, I'm on. I forget sometimes if I'm on or off. It's a lapel mic. But appreciate the singing this morning. And God is still good. God is still good. What other conclusion will you come to? When life is at its best, God is still good. When life is at its worst, God is still good. What other conclusion will you come to? That is the only conclusion that you can come to that will help you through. God is good because God has a plan. Nothing catches him off guard. If you belong to him, everything that is going on in your life is being filtered through his hands. God has a way of taking the good, the bad, and the ugly, and making something beautiful out of it if you let him. And appreciate the Lord this morning. And sure. Awesome, brother. Thank you for sharing that. Maybe someone else wants to say how God good is. How good God is. Appreciate you, and Brother Chuck, and what God has done in your life since you've been here. That's all we have this morning. I do have something really burning on my heart I want to share. If you have your Bibles, take your Bibles and make your way to Luke chapter number 18. It's going to be a few minutes before we do any reading because I want to lay down the groundwork for the message, give the background, lay the foundation so that it will be easy to understand. Luke chapter number 18, and verse number 1 here in just a few moments. I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we will introduce the subject matter this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for everything. Everything. Sometimes it takes us a while to thank you for everything. It's hard to thank you for the hard times. But the Bible does say, in everything, not for everything, but in everything give thanks. Sometimes we have to find our praise. Then we get to lift our praise. Father, this morning I pray that you would hide me behind the cross. Lord, that you would quicken my mind, my thinking, my heart. Lord, I pray for a clear head and a calm heart. Help me, Lord, to gird up the loins of my mind. Stay focused on the message, Lord, that you have placed there. This is certainly what we need to hear during the time and day that we live in the church age. So, Father, I pray that you would delight in our study time we had, delight in the message we give. Holy Spirit, use it and apply it to every heart. Save souls and encourage the saints would be our prayer. We love you this morning, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to ask a very personal question this morning. everybody in the room and that are watching and listening, I want to ask a very, very important question. When I ask this question, I want you to ask yourselves this question within yourself. Here's the question. If everyone here were just like me, what kind of church would my church be? I want everybody to let that marinate upon your heart and mind this morning. Of course, this is an old saying. I've heard it for years. But it's a sobering question. If everyone here were just like me, what kind of church would my church be? You ask yourselves that question, and I've been asking myself that question. For some of you, the answer will bring satisfaction, knowing the things that you do here at Calvary and how you serve the Lord and in your own personal spiritual lives. It will bring satisfaction, the answer to that question, to some of you. But for others, it should bring conviction. There's some who aren't given their 100% spiritually. And if this church was modeled after you, it would be a sad case. So this question this morning, if everyone were just like me, what kind of church would my church be? Some would, again, have satisfaction because you know you've been given everything to Jesus. You know that. And so delight in the answer that you get if you are a serving Christian. But this message primarily are for those not only in this building and watching on Facebook, listening on the webpage, but this is the question that should be asked around the world within the church world. If everyone here was just like me, what kind of church would my church be? This morning, the purpose of this question is to bring all of us a sense of responsibility to our spiritual life. Those that were here last Sunday morning, last Sunday night, know that we preached a two-part message out of the book of Peter. And the title was Taking Control of Your Spiritual Life. By the looks of the condition of our world and the declining of the church, not the spiritual church, but the local church, it doesn't look like there are many whose spiritual lives are under control. And I got news this morning, it's not going to get any easier. It's going to get much more dark. And my job, my calling, is to pray and ask God to give me the backbone to throw the challenge out to you as I'm challenged with the same kind of questions. I love you too much to just come and tickle your ears. I want to preach the truth this morning. And I believe even though we're living in a world that has corruption, there is still a remnant of believers who want to hear absolute truth. So this morning, if everyone here were just like me, what kind of church would my church be? Again, the purpose of this question is to bring a sense of responsibility to our spiritual life, how that what we do or don't do affects the overall health of the church in a positive or negative way. If you are a Calvary member, please consider this message this morning. And please give me all of your attention. So this morning, the title is, What Kind of Church Would My Church Be? I want to mention three areas for us to examine ourselves in. And if we're endeavoring to do these things, it should bring satisfaction, encouragement. But if we're neglecting any of these things, it should bring conviction. And I pray that you're convicted. Because when we're convicted, that means God is dealing with us. And I don't pray there come a time when God doesn't deal with you. And so I pray for conviction this morning from the Word of God in the message we have upon our hearts. My prayer is that we all would gain a fresh sense of responsibility to our spiritual lives and be determined to grow, mature, serve the Lord wholeheartedly until He calls us home or He comes back to get us. What kind of church would my church be? Number one, the first area we need to examine ourselves in is the area of prayer. Prayer. Now stay with me. Don't turn me off because I'm talking about prayer. Don't underestimate the subject of prayer, by the way. What kind of church would my church be if everyone prayed like me? Ask yourselves that kind of question. Why don't you ask yourselves that question? Do you have an active prayer life? Is there time set aside to pray? Not just lay me down to sleep, praise the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, praise the Lord my soul to take. Not just, Lord, bless this food to be the nourishment for my body to your service. But I'm talking about a time set aside, unrushed, focused. Nothing else matters. A time to connect with Jesus. Do you have an active prayer life? And so the question is, what is prayer? Brother, preacher, you're asking me about prayer. What is prayer? Here it is. You ready for it? Prayer is communication with God. Prayer is talking to God. Communication with God is what prayer is. Communication is imperative for relationships. Communication is imperative for relationships. Here it is, because it keeps you connected to the other person. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt like someone was distant from you? I mean, you see them at church. You see them during the week. But when you see them and you're talking with them, it's like they're not there. I mean, in your relationship with maybe your spouse or a friend, I don't know. There are times in my life where I have talked to people and they just seem distant, Brother Ceylon. And 9 times out of 10... the reason why they are distant is probably because they're not communicating something to me. You know, you talk to people sometimes and they just feel distant. I mean, you go around them and they don't talk to you, they don't pay attention to you, and you know, you've done everything you can to be, you know, nice and hospitable, but there's times where you go around people and they feel distant from you. It's probably because they're not communicating something to you. Communication is imperative for relationships. If you're married this morning, you better talk to your spouse. And I'll even say, for these young ones who think they like to have boyfriends and girlfriends, You better talk to them. You better tell them what you believe in. You better tell them where you stand. You better tell them you're a believer. You better tell them you'll have nothing less than the same. There needs to be communication in all kinds of relationships. Something you have to say to me if there's ever a time. And listen, you just tell me. If you're holding something back, you need to tell me as your pastor. Tell me if there's something that I need to tell you, I will tell you. Some things are easy to tell. Hey, Bro Justin, we got 70 people in church this morning. Bro Jeff Hodges told me that. That's easy to tell. Hey, Brother Harold, we love you. Thank God for you. We're praying for you. Anything you need, let us know. I'm happy to tell that to Brother Harold. But there's times where you can just tell that someone has something to say, but they're not saying it. And in like manner is our relationship with Jesus. Communication is vital. Communication is imperative. It is of utmost importance. I think sometimes we have stuff going on and we just get distant. And listen, God knows when you're distant with Him. God knows when you're not talking to Him. He knows. God knows when I'm not talking to Him. And the Lord knows when we're distant from Him. And He don't want any distance in the relationship. So this morning, communication is vital for relationships. Communication with God is called prayer. And the question is, do we have an active prayer life? And again, the question over that is, what kind of church would my church be if everyone prayed like me? Well, Brother Justin, I don't pray like I should, and I miss many days, and I'm glad that everyone's not that way. Because we need people to pray. We need people to ask God to meet with us in our services. I need you to pray for me. I pray for you. We need people that pray. You ever seen someone, met someone that said, "We'll be praying for you"? Let me ask you a question. Do you really pray for them? If you do, that brings satisfaction to you. If you don't, it should bring conviction to you. Because the Bible says that we ought not to give words as to please men, and we're not to be men pleasers, giving eye service and promises and all things like that. But we are to follow through and pray for someone and pray for people. Bible tells us to pray for one another. And so, this morning, what kind of church will my church be if everyone prayed like me? And you see, the connection is lost when there's no communication. The connection is lost with God. Not our salvation, but that communion that gives us power to overcome and that gives us that peace that we need to continue while going through challenges, that connection is lost through lack of communication. It takes connection in order for a light bulb to burn. Ask Brother Larry Bennett, he knows. It takes this touching of one another to give light. It takes connection in order for a car to crank. I know about that this week. Down there at the shop 3 days this week. Man, don't they know that I run out of things to talk about with them? Man, I got things to do. First, and listen, I'm giving you what, I'm telling you how my week went. I'm not asking for money. Or for you to feel sorry for me. But I didn't realize all four brakes were metal to metal. on my Avalon. I was riding down the road. I heard it, but I didn't realize it was bad as it was. New brakes, new rotors. And then the very same day when I got home, got cleaned up, took the girls out for lunch, Lily and Kristen for lunch. We're all together. Got in the car to leave Subway, and the car wouldn't crank. And I have an awesome friend down at an automotive center in Hiram, automotive shop. And he said, bring it on by. So I went on by there and needed a new ignition switch installed. And I want to tell you, that key wasn't turning over because something was locked up in there. And so it takes connection in order for a car to crank. Thank God for the automotive shop that showed me the error of my way. Put in a new ignition switch. I got a new key. Man, that thing fits like a bug in a rug. I mean, it's snug. I just did a few times. Turn it on, turn it off, turn it on, turn it off. And I said, okay, I'm going to stop now. I don't want to blow this one out and need another one. It takes connection to hit a baseball. It takes connection to score a touchdown. Connection. Baseball. Connection. It takes connection to score a shot. It's all about connection. It's all about communication with Jesus. And when we are communicating with Him, we have a connection. We can pray a prayer and God will move a mountain. We can pray and lay down a burden and we receive the peace of God to continue on. And if everyone was that way, where everyone prayed earnestly and everyone casted all their cares on the Lord and had a personal prayer time with Jesus, we would come to a church assembling ourselves together with everyone connected. What would happen if everyone was connecting with the Lord during the week? They had conversation with Him. They spent time with Him. And we come into this place on Sunday morning. It's just a bunch of people who's been connected. Think about what would happen. Now look across the globe at what's happening in our church world. We have empty pews. We have plenty of room to grow. Not just here, but church wide. We have a decline in those living for the Lord. We are experiencing a falling away. Marriages are ending. Kids are going crazy. Could it be that there's a breakdown in the home concerning this matter of prayer? We've got to pray. We've got to pray. And I'm not going to get into the message I got tonight because that's for tonight. Tonight's message is, where's all the people? Here in the book of Luke, chapter number 18, verse number 1, we are commanded to pray. The Bible says, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. I believe that's gender neutral. I believe it's commanded for men and women to pray. We are always to pray. Keep the attitude of prayer. You can't stay locked away somewhere 24/7 praying. I understand that. But you can say, I am setting aside some time each day. It may be early, it may be midday, it may be night. But whatever time I do have a moment, I will make a moment and unrushed and focused, I will pray. I will communicate to God my heart that He already knows. I will connect with Him because I need His resurrecting power. Does that not make sense? And so prayer is commanded here in this parable. We're not going to read the parable. We may mention a thing or two. But there's a widow lady, and she's in much need in her life. There's an adversary after her. She goes to the judge's house and bangs on the door. Open up! I need help! And she does this time and time and time and time again. I need help! Open the door! Is what the Bible says. And she continued this. He never came to the door for such a long time. Think about that. Has there been times in your life where you'd reach out to God and ask God for help? Lord, please help me. Lord, please touch me. Well, that's what this woman was doing. In verse number 2, the Bible says, saying there was in a city a judge who feared not God nor regarded man. Verse 3, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man. Look at verse 5. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? We have an unjust judge who fears not God, and yet after a while he answered the door. And we have a heavenly Father. He said, hear how the story goes. If there's an unjust judge who finally answered the door being annoyed by someone who needed help, he said, what about your heavenly Father? He'll do the same thing for you. He says, and shall not God avenge, verse 7, his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. There is help to be found in prayer. Maybe you've been banging on God's door, wanting him the answer, and he has not. Maybe you have not even been asking for help. Maybe you've been trying to carry your load by yourself. Maybe you've been running from God. I think it's time this morning to start knocking on Jesus' door. Because after a while, help will come. I promise you, help will come. So we're commanded to pray. And out of the story, we see there's help to be found in prayer. But in James chapter number 5 and verse 16, we see that prayer is powerful. Turn to James chapter number 5, if you would. James 5, verse 16, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Not only prayer is commanded, but prayer is powerful. Now in verse number 16, he says the effectual, fervent prayer. Those two words, effectual, fervent, gives the original word or definition in the Greek, that of energy. Energy. Energetic prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The word availeth means serviceable. It means production. It means can get something accomplished. So you tell me this morning, when we bow down, we pray. Father God, I thank you for who you are, for what you do. Lord, be with me today. And I pray you just give me safety, give me home. Jesus, and ruin. How do you think that's going to play out in your day? Now listen, I know that some prayer is better than no prayer at all. But when you come to God with energetic prayer, when you come to the throne room of God with fervent prayer, effectual, fervent, energetic, sincere, heartily praying to the Lord, when you come on that fashion, that kind of praying will get the job done. When you come to Him unrushed and focused, knowing that He's the only way that's going to get you through. When you come to the Lord knowing that He's the only way the bills are going to get paid. When you crawl up to Him in the throne room and you ask God to help with your teenager and their friends in this world. When you come to God and ask Him to help you be a better spouse and you cry with tears fervently. Those are energetic prayers. Those are effectual, fervent prayers. Those kind of prayers touch heaven. Those kind of prayers are serviceable. Those kind of prayers are productive. Not when we're, oh dear Lord, be me. But God, I take a moment out today for you. I have a job to work at. I need your help. I have a family to lead. I need your help. God, I'm struggling in the flesh with these things. I don't want to give in to them. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But I don't want to. I want them out of my life, Lord. Please help me. That kind of praying brings production. And I'm not necessarily talking about volume, okay? I'm talking about sincerity of heart. And the question remains, what kind of church will my church be if everyone prayed like me? If everyone was a prayer warrior, I believe we would see burdens drop that some of you have been carrying. If everyone was a prayer warrior, I believe we'd have more people come to this church. Thank you, Miss Marianne, for having a women's prayer brunch. And listen, the finger's on me too. I'm challenged every day to crawl up in that place. Give God His allotted time, His due time. If we would pray, then some would come to me and say, Brother Justin, no, come here. It's not my problem anymore. I'm now over that problem. I've got victory over that problem. You see, if we conversed with the Lord a little bit more than we do, then we would be connected to Him and be able to experience this effectual, fervent prayer. Elijah, he prayed for rain. It rained. He prayed for it not to rain. Didn't rain. I've got too much to preach here, and I'm not hurrying through it. Let me mention just a couple more things. Prayer is powerful. But prayer produces peace. Philippians 4, verse number 6. Listen to this, very familiar. Philippians 4, verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The word keep means to guard, to garrison about. When we talk to the Lord and we have energetic prayer, then part of that production will be a peace that passes all understanding. We go to Him with our anxieties and we pray. We ask God to help us. We want God to take it from us. And you know you have truly casted your burden upon the Lord when there's the peace of God that follows. If you walk away from your prayer time, and this is based on my personal experience, it may be different for you. If you walk away from your prayer time and that burden is still there, it's still sharp, it's still heavy. It's been my experience that I haven't truly given it to the Lord. Now, there's times where I walk away and I know I still have a situation in my life, but the edges have been cut off. Through prayer, the Lord has grinded down the edge of my burden. You see what I'm saying? And there's peace that follows. We come to church and a lot of times we smile, but do we really have peace on the inside? We come to church, we assemble ourselves together across the country. It's seemingly on TV when you watch church, everybody's happy and there's nothing wrong. But I'm not naive to think that every smile, behind every smile, everything's okay. And if you truly want to smile, then I challenge you to engage in prayer and to set aside some unrushed, focused time and really talk to God and get connected with Him, because that's how you truly can experience the peace of God. One more. Prayer for everything and everywhere. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse number 18. We know that the armor of God is mentioned. All of these parts. And verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The two key words of verse 18 is praying, and the other key word is all. Praying always with all prayer. What does that mean? That means pray about everything. All prayer. I also believe that means pray everywhere. Public prayer, private prayer, small group prayer, personal, just prayer. Pray everywhere, but also pray about everything. Have you prayed about everything going on in your life this morning? Or is there something there that you're not presenting to the Lord? Pray about everything. Pray everywhere. And so I just am of the persuasion that if we all had a time of day that we set aside for the Lord, that we pray and we converse with Him and get connected to Him, that if everyone was that way, then we would have a powerful church where God is working. Now, I believe God's working here, and we have some powerful moments. But again, I am also not naive to think that everybody in here has an active prayer life. I challenge you this morning. We're not going to get past my first point, but I challenge you this morning to work on your prayer life. Work on your prayer life as I work on my prayer life. Again, the question that we started with is, what kind of church would my church be if everyone was just like me? And our first point, what kind of church would my church be if everyone prayed like me? If you are a prayer warrior, then you'll receive satisfaction out of that question. But if you're not, you should receive conviction. And my prayer is that conviction will lead you to a place of discovering the blessing of an open invitation to talk to God and what can be received of that, a strong connection with Him. Father, we love You this morning. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. I pray that you would use the message, use the first point we've mentioned, Lord, as a challenge for all of us. We're living in, I said it to him, blue in the face. We're living in dark days. We're living in the last days, troublesome times. Things are not getting any easier. We need to be hooked up to an eternal source where the supply is inexhaustible for strength. God, you are our eternal source, and your supply is inexhaustible. So, Father, I pray this morning you'll give liberty during the time of invitation. But also, I pray that you'd move tonight in our 5 o'clock service. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. And if you need to come, come for anything. To praise the Lord or to pray, the altar is open if you need to come.